Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. It's Holy WASDE Day, and I'm joined today by Vice President of Information Services, Nicole Thomas. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, Mike. You're on the road. Are you on the road?
I'm literally on the road right now.
Live in the field. Mike Coughlin.
Live in the field. And I'm not driving. Don't worry.
Good.
I have Dario driving. But I'm very excited. You know what? We don't rest. Even when we're on the road and the WASDE comes out, you're going to hear from us.
The show must go on, sir.
The show must go on. But, you know, I don't want to talk about sports today. I want to talk about tomorrow being Friday the 13th.
You know, that's one of my favorite horror movies. You know, I'm a bit of a horror flick person.
Are you?
Gotta love Jason Voorhees. Friday the 13th, that's a classic.
Yeah, well, a little known secret is Stella, my daughter's favorite holiday is not Christmas, but Halloween.
That is something your daughter and my son share in common. His favorite holiday is Halloween. I think it has something to do with the candy. I'm going with the candy.
Yes.
I hope it's the candy.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Otherwise, we've got some other stuff to worry about down the road, Michael.
Well, let's worry about that later. But I thought today we'd talk about the WASDE report. And, you know, why don't we have you start with corn and soybeans? And then we'll move on to sugar. But, you know, corn, they really, USDA shocked a lot of people last month. Tell us what they did this month.
Well, you know, it's funny, Mike. People look forward to report days because typically they provide you with answers. You know, you get a better gauge of what's going on with demand, a better idea of what's going on with production. And it can usually help you make some decisions, right?
You would think.
But in this case, it seems that this report presented more questions than answers, and not necessarily for what you might think. You know, we've all been wondering whether USDA was going to lower yield and what impact that would have on production. And you still have some questioning of this acreage number of 90 million acres. And what we got in today's report was simply a modest reduction of production of about 100 million bushels. As a result of a slight reduction to the yield, now seen right around 168.4, I believe it was, according to the USDA today. But why I say today's report presents more questions than answers relates to the categories of demand. And wrapping up the 2018-19 crop year, we're starting to get some firm numbers on the demand picture there. We have a pretty good handle on what exports were, and we're getting very close to knowing the final number for feed demand. So I wouldn't expect to see too drastic a change in those numbers in the future. We're also getting a pretty good handle on what happened with ethanol usage of corn, although we need some other government reports to kind of catch up on that and confirm those numbers. What's interesting, though, is considering what we could get based on what we have versus what expectations have been. And what I mean by that is the entire market has been expecting a decline in production versus last year, and subsequently a decline in stocks versus last year. And accordingly, the entire market has been expecting stronger prices for futures, me included. I am part of the market. So when you look at all these potential declines in demand for 2019-20, and considering we're only in the first few weeks of the new crop year, so I'll throw that out there. But you do start to wonder if corn prices will be only a shade bit higher than last year's levels. And if so, might demand end up a little stronger than what we see in these initial projections? Now, as I've said, we're very early into the marketing year. And with the volatility of the last few months, I'm a little gun shy about suggesting the market is going to be bullish or bearish, to be quite candid. I've been as surprised as everybody else that we're not seeing production even lower than the current projection. And I've been predicating most of my expectations for the year on higher prices for corn. But let's say, as they say for poops and giggles, that USDA is dead on about production, right?
Right.
And ending stocks are going to be near parity with last year. Question becomes, does that change the scenario for all these demand categories? So For example, could we see ethanol hang in there with the cheaper corn price if the price of ethanol were to strengthen a bit? And then maybe the profitability picture gets at least a little bit better. And maybe some of these ethanol producers decide that they don't want to dramatically pull back on production. I don't know. It's a possibility. Or let's say this most recent reporting that the U.S. and China are making legitimate progress towards a trade deal and that reporting is legit. Could that boost export demand, not just for corn, but for meat products that essentially supports comparable, if not stronger, corn for feed demand? Or what we see is what we get on the balance sheet today. The demand remains weak. Production is what it is. And this upcoming year is as uneventful as the first 6 months of 2018-19. Mm. So the bottom line is I'm as confused as ever.
Sure.
And we are right back to looking at scenarios of possibilities as opposed to any firm indication where prices are going to go based off of the supply and demand balance sheet. That is, but only a shade more certain than it was 3 months ago.
Got it.
Now, I will say this. I know corn toll buyers are probably pulling out their hair because they're thinking, well, what do I do here? And to try to aid you with this, we're going to put together a reasonably extensive write-up for our IQ platform in the next week or so that will take a look at what we could see from a net corn cost perspective. Okay. I think a lot of folks will be enthused to take a look at that. Cool. And I'll be running some numbers considering different possibilities for the futures values, for the co-product values throughout the year, and some of the possibilities for basis, because I know that's what's on the mind of a lot of folks right now as to what to expect for this upcoming year. So that's my unclear but candid perspective of corn based on today's report.
I love it. I love it.
You like that?
I do. And I like the IQ platform thing.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Hey, there's always good information there.
You can get all kinds of great stuff in there.
Yeah, they do. They do. Those people. Amazing. And you said you wanted to talk about soybeans a little bit as well, right?
Yeah. You often refer to the poor soybean market. You know?
Well,
I can't get a break. So how about today?
It got a break today. It did get a break today.
You're kidding.
It did. The soybean market finally got a bullish push. And by the end of the day, that had spilled over into the corn market as well. So futures began higher this morning due to positive news suggesting ground is being made in the trade discussions between the U.S. and China. And we talked about that for a while, that we could see a bullish boost if we felt like things were firming up, or at least if the market felt like we were going to get somewhere with that discussion. And the indication is that China could be looking at loosening import restrictions, which would not only be inclusive of grain, but also pork products, which is super supportive for the soy complex. And that had the soy futures market trading higher by double digits hours before the report was even released. So before the report even came out, we were seeing that rally. Now, when the report did come out, it showed a drop in 2019-20 U.S. soy ending stocks, mostly as a result of lower ending stocks for 2018-19, as well as a slight yield reduction for 2019-20. And there was also an almost 1 million metric ton decline to projected Argentinian ending stocks due to a downward revision of beginning stocks for 1920, but it was offset by a likewise increase to projected Brazilian carryout. So long story short, U.S. stocks to use for soybeans is now projected at 15.9%, which is still bearish in a traditional sense, but markedly better.
Sure.
Tremendously better than the 25% stocks to use of last year.
Wow.
And enough to get some short covering excitement going in the market. And then for soybean oil, ending stocks for 1920, those took an additional hit too due to lower carry-in. Food use for 2018-19 was increased by a whopping 250 million pounds,
okay,
something that was foreshadowed in the September oil seeds crushing report. And that obviously impacted carry-in for 1920. So now stocks to use for soybean oil in the U.S. is projected at 5.9%. On the global balance sheet, soybean oil stocks in 1920 are projected to fall by about 3% versus the year prior. So as we've been telling clients for a while, on paper, Soybean oil futures should be trading in a range between 30 to 32 cents per pound based on the fundamentals.
Right.
And perhaps now, if we're truly making progress in the trade talks, the fundamental bullishness in the soybean oil market will overtake what has been general weakness in soybeans spilling over into the rest of the complex. So
got it.
Not a bad day for, it was a great day for soybeans.
Oh my gosh. You got to have some winners.
Yes. There's always winners and losers, man.
That's right.
Soybean won today.
So shall we shift over to sugar?
Yeah, let's talk about sugar. So all right. It looks like some production number changes there, huh?
Well, you know, the U.S. did a few things today. And, you know, the September report is a very important report as it relates to Mexico. Because this is, of course, you know, with the suspension agreement, this what they do in the numbers here really guarantees 70% of what will come in from Mexico into the next crop year.
Right.
So if you look at the schedule. So this one's a port one. Mm-hmm. And again, the USDA is trying to manage to a 13.5 stocks to use ratio. So,
right.
You know, some of the adjustments they made, you know, they're kind of trying to get to that that target 13.5. But a couple things they did. One, they lowered the beet production estimate today, which is not super surprising considering we had a late start to the crop
right.
for this year and late plantings, but also just the reports over the last several months in the Red River Valley, et cetera. So
right.
not a big surprise they lowered the beet production. And you probably have the numbers in front of you.
174,000 short ton raw value
oh my gosh.
Decline from last month's report.
So you're just up over 5 million short tons raw value. So, you know, still a good crop. But again, they made the adjustment down there.
Right.
The other one they did was, you know, you remember from the August WASD, they surprised people a little bit by adding about 75,000 short tons raw value to sugar deliveries.
Right, right, right.
Nicole, you and I talk a lot about sugar deliveries and, you know, all of the talk about sugar reduction.
Yeah.
Food companies reducing sugar on a lot of different products. And so obviously that surprised us, but they, I believe they cut that by 25,000 short tons raw value today. So
they did
bringing that down. And then, so I guess that would be about a little over a 1% increase over year on year.
Right.
And then looking at for the next year, you know, it's, they're expecting a little less than that 1%, right?
Right. Right. Relatively flat.
Yeah. So, you know, generally we say population growth 1% every year. Now, you know, maybe sugar reductions are, it's happening.
Definitely looks that way.
And then just on the numbers, so they did increase imports and that would be in the favor of Mexican imports in particular. And again, trying to hit that 13.5 stocks to use ratio. So that would raise Mexican imports by almost 140,000 short tons raw value, hitting us to 1.118 million short tons raw value. So, gosh, you know, South, they got to be a little bit more excited about having the access to a little bit more sugar into the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of what this means is, you know, so we've talked before, a lot of the industry is booked forward covered this next crop year, 1920.
Right.
The beets were pretty heavily covered and the canes were definitely getting covered in a big way. So, you know, I think what at the end of the day this means with these adjustments is you could see some increased pricing from the beet industry in particular. And I guess it's just a wait and see.
Right. Fun times in the world of sugar.
Oh, my gosh. Those were the highlights today. But you know what? I want to talk about something before we leave, and that is next week's podcast. We have somebody that we're excited to have on the pod with us. Tell us a little bit about who that is, Nicole.
Oh, this is a special one. In my Ron Burgundy voice, this is kind of a big deal. we're going to have the world renowned Phil Flynn.
I love that guy.
Of the Price Futures Group.
Yep.
Senior market analyst and author of the Energy Report and contributor to Fox Business Network, who is going to be joining us next week. I think he's going to talk a little bit about energy.
Great.
Which I'm sure, everybody, I don't care what industry you're in. We could be talking about your house. You want to know about the energy market, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that should be a good one. Looking forward to hearing that. And I'm sure a lot of folks are going to want to tune in for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there because I guess I'm emceeing it. So I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Be sure to pose some questions about natural gas.
I will. I'll take care of that for you. But
I was going to make a joke there, but
yeah, you're holding back, aren't you?
Inappropriate.
You're holding back.
Yeah. That's some of my best behavior today.
Yeah. Well, why don't we go ahead and wrap this up? People can get on with their day. But again, as I always say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every single moment, your family, your friends, etc. And until next week, take care, everybody.
See ya.
Bye now.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.